This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. The Northern Plains will trend wetter over the next 7 days, with the wetter bias continuing into the second week of the two-week outlook. World Weather Incorporated says the greatest rains are possible next Wednesday and Thursday, with up to 1.5 inches possible.
Rain and planting delays returned to the Ohio River Basin yesterday and extended into southeastern Michigan, Indiana, southeastern Illinois, and parts of Kentucky. Rainfall totals ranging from 1/10 of an inch to over 3 inches in localized areas. World Weather says regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms will continue through the next 2 weeks, with the lower Midwest and Ohio River area being the wettest. Portions of eastern Nebraska, Iowa, and eastern South Dakota will remain dry and will need greater rains soon.
Crops are progressing well in southwest Minnesota despite some early season emergence issues. Worthington area farmer Bill Gordon says changing temperatures impacted planting, but conditions have improved.
Had a little issue with emergence. We got planted really early and then cooled off. And then it got warm and then cooled off again. And so we had a lot of soybeans that actually sat in kind of dry soil. Finally got some moisture, so you have a little bit of stage issues there, but for the most part, everything came out of the ground now. There was some isolated spots, so they had to do some replanting, but most of it's really doing well, starting to grow with this heat. Now we got some moisture here this last week.
Gordon says the moisture levels have varied across the region.
South of Worthington, they picked up a couple inches here the other night. North of town, we were closer to 8/10. So it's kind of spotty, sporadic, a little bit of hail in the vicinity, but nothing really did a lot of damage. Sitting pretty good on moisture right now. Of course, we're going to need it here as this crop keeps developing with the heat. But so far, so good. Again, probably a little dry. Could use some more moisture here next week. Need some sun right now to get this crop to keep going.
Crops in west central North Dakota continue to make good progress. Dakota Agronomy Partners Hazen location.
We did, actually. I think that was a lot of answered prayers for a lot of our guys in our area. You know, we just really didn't get the snowfall or snow cover over the winter, and then spring came through, and, you know, we thawed so fast, and we had guys rolling so quick. So, like I said, I think that was a lot of answered prayers in our area. The guys averaged anywhere from 5 to some of them even south of us were kind of around the 9-inch area, I guess, from what I was told.
The small grains in the area are about 2 weeks ahead of the average.
When we're looking at wheat, you know, we're probably at around our 5-leaf area already. They're coming up pretty quick, but now it's kind of just managing weeds at that point. So, and we've been going out quite a bit the last 2 weeks here, just kind of trying to stay ahead of everything where we can. So far, everything's looking pretty good. Guys are kind of managing fertility a lot more, I think, this year than what we've seen in previous years, just because of how dry we were in general. So it's been kind of interesting, but it's been fun to go out and look at everything so far this year.
NDSU Extension weed specialist Joe Eichley says many weeds have gotten an early start to the year.
Yes, we've had an early start to the year for some weeds, mainly our large-seeded broadleaf weeds like wild buckwheat and common ragweed. They are up in abundance this year. They also thrive in cooler conditions, so, you know, we had a little bit of heat there back in May, but it's overall been a cooler weather pattern, so they're doing quite well this year and will be some of the weeds that trigger some of our post-emergence herbicide applications.
And Eichley says it's about time to be spraying for kochia and water hemp.
For those folks who deal with kochia, which is most of us, you know, that's having another good year for kochia, bad year for us. So we've already kind of had some sprays and tactics against kochia in most fields, but some of these fields have been planted, kochia is getting to the size it needs to be sprayed as well across basically any crop. And then those folks who deal with water hemp, the main flush of water hemp seems to have come in the third week of May or so. And so there's a lot of water hemp up this year. But it is still on the smaller side, but we're probably 10 days away from needing to spray water hemp as well. So the weeds are basically on time as normal, but just kind of pointing out some of the ones that have been most abundant and prevalent this year.
The grain market continues to chop sideways as traders watch weather forecasts and news headlines. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson would like to see warmer temperatures.
You know, this week, I think it's been kind of nice. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of smoke. We've been seeing, you know, For the most part, you know, sunny, warm days, but we need to get a little bit warmer, I think, temperatures. I mean, this in the 70s isn't quite adding up our growing degree days. We'd like to see them into the 80s, but certainly can't complain, and it is certainly helping the crop to change color out in the field.
Martinson says the crop is improving.
Because the appearance is showing that, and we're seeing some growth. Soybeans are starting to, you know, we can actually tell the difference between corn and soybeans now. They're not all the same color, so that's helping. And even the wheat is starting to come out of it. I know there's been some areas where there's been some issues with the wheat with, poor emergences and poor growing. So we're finally starting to see some of that come out. We're still seeing a fair amount of replant that's going to have to take place in some of the areas, but for the most part, we are improving, which is a good sign.
The cattle market continues to push into uncharted territory, with prices reaching record highs across much of the country. Livestock Marketing Information Center Director Dr. Tyler Cousins says the strength in the market is unprecedented.
So some of this is not totally unexpected, but I think it's just the strength. That's what's unprecedented here, to see these prices push quickly higher here. Especially in some of the, the Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota prices, they're over 230, and looking in Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, still above 220, some strong prices here.
Even with the financial challenges facing consumers around the country, demand for beef remains strong.
That demand side of things is definitely holding very strong. And, and even some of the data that we got through the first quarter of 2025, that strength has even continued through that first quarter. So definitely watching that with a lot of interest here as we get through the summer months to see if a lot of that can still hold, because we're seeing these retail beef prices that are well into the $8 range, just kind of on an aggregate level. Where's the appetite for the consumer for just overall beef demand? It seems to be holding very strong.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday farm news on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. beef and pork exports declined in April compared to last year, largely due to a sharp drop in shipments to China. Retaliatory duties and expired plant registrations contributed to the downturn for beef, while pork exports also slowed to China and Mexico. Despite the decline, demand remained strong in South Korea, Central and South America, Colombia, and Central America.
Livestock producers who suffered losses due to drought or wildfires are eligible for USDA's Emergency Livestock Relief Program.
If you qualify for the loss, you should be receiving a payment in the mail if you've not received it already.
That's Farm Service Agency Administrator Bill Beam.
ELRP payment eligibility requires livestock producers to have suffered grazing losses in a county rated by the U.S. Drought Monitor as having D2 for 8 consecutive weeks or D3 extreme drought or higher levels of drought intensity for either 2023 or 2024. We're eligible for both years and have applied and been approved for LFP.
Important tax benefits for farmers and ranchers could soon disappear without action from Congress. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall says the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act made a real difference for agriculture.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 lowered the tax rate for small and medium-sized farms and made it easier for farmers to reinvest in their businesses. The estate tax exemption rate was also increased, which protects heirs when a farm is passed on to the next generation.
Duvall says the law's expiration would bring serious consequences.
That would mean a tax increase of 9 to 20% for many farms, depending on their size. We must tell lawmakers to make tax provisions permanent.
Without congressional action, the current tax provisions will expire at the end of the year.
Ag Tech Week is next week in Fargo. Grand Farm Regional Ecosystem Coordinator Stetson Urlacher talks about the event and what it means for the region.
Ag Tech Week is a partnership between Grand Farm, Bushel, the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo Chamber of Commerce, all focusing around our three keystone events for agriculture and agriculture technology. The Chamber hosts their Midwest Ag Summit. Bushel hosts their large custom conference called the Buddy Seed Conference. And we host our large Cultivate Conference, which is our signature conference at Grant Farm. Each year, we try to bring around 5,000 attendees from across the nation, across the globe, to Fargo to showcase the ag tech ecosystem and the agriculture that we have here in the Valley and what we've been able to build and grow, all about bringing together this ecosystem around ag technology.
and Ag Tech Week has something for all types of ag professionals.
Ag Tech Week truly is for the entire ecosystem of ag technology. So everyone from farmers, end users, all the way through to corporate innovation teams, startups, researchers, investors. Truly, if you are in the ag tech ecosystem, right, so if you're concerned about ag tech, a customer of ag tech, or in a position developing ag tech, this week is for you, and we do our best to try and invite as many of those folks as possible.
RKF USA urging Congress to pass the Pet and Livestock Protection Act of 2025. The bill would remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list and return management to individual states. RKF CEO Bill Bullard says the gray wolf remains a growing problem for livestock producers.
We have to achieve a balance between the desire of people to have wolves in the wilderness, but we also have to protect the economic and financial interests of those whose livelihoods depend on their ability to maintain their livestock herds.
Bullard says wolves don't even have to kill livestock to cause damage. Their presence can create major issues.
The wolves will traumatize an entire herd and cause problems with conception, cause problems with gaining weight for calves, separating calves from the cows. There's all kinds of problems associated with wolves that are preying upon a cattle farmer, a rancher, or sheep producer's livestock.
Cargill is investing $90 million in automation and technology updates at its Fort Morgan, Colorado beef plant. That includes a new computer vision tool that measures meat yield in real time, which reduces waste. Cargill has also confirmed its plan to buy the Tees Beef Processing business in Australia. Cargill has been a shareholder in that company for 14 years. The deal should be wrapped up later this year. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week editor Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
For this week's Ag Week cover, Ann Bailey talked to some soil health experts about the problem of topsoil loss. If you're in the Red River Valley, but really anywhere in the region at the right time, you've probably experienced some dust storms. This is pretty simply when wind moves loose soil into the air. And while it's a problem for visibility and air quality, it's also a big problem for agriculture that experts have been noting for decades. Ann talked to soil health specialists at North Dakota State University and with a soil conservation district. And she talked to them about what they're seeing and what they think needs to be done to help the problem. What they're seeing is pretty alarming. Much of the original topsoil is pretty well gone, and building it back up could take generations. What they advocate is for less tilling, so more no-till or minimal till or vertical tillage, and more things like cover crops to help hold soil and build organic matter. Those cover crops can also help protect delicate plants. And one expert really believes what is needed to remedy the problem is more land planted to mimic the environment of the original grasslands of this region. So native species grazed by livestock, and a lot of the farmers might not have their own livestock. He thinks they should work with somebody who does. And he knows that that won't be an easy solution, but he thinks it's the right one for the problem.
Thanks, Jenny. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Checking numbers, July wheat Minneapolis up 8.5 cents, 6.33¾. July wheat Chicago up 8 cents, 5.53½. KC wheat's up 5.5 at 5.48 even. July corn up 4 cents, 4.43½. July soybeans up 5.25 at 10.57 even. September soybeans and November soybeans also up 2 and are up 2.5 as well. In Winnipeg, July canola up $11.10 per metric ton, 7.10.20 Canadian. June live cattle up 2.95 at 2.25.85. August feeders up 47 cents, 3.09.62. July lean hogs up 2.15 at 106.95. Have a great weekend out there. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.